All right, welcome back. Second final hour of November 20th, 2022, Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. The site is theliberationstation.com, and the chat room on the site is on the listen/archives page. Just scroll down and past the players at the top, then the big blue button for the Facebook live stream, which is still going strong, fortunately, and then the frequencies of the Tantalk network, on which I hope to return. It's a network of six Florida stations based about a mile from me. That's why I moved here. One reason I moved here. One big reason. Several other big reasons for the location here. Health store and some other reasons, of course, friends. But been growing up in Pinellas County since I was 2 years old here. And the call-in numbers after we finish this clip, about 40 minutes left to go. You can call in at 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. And if your calling plan doesn't fit that, you can use the toll-free number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Or you can connect through Skype if you just go in the chat room on the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com and let me know your Skype address, and I'll just conference you into the call. You can even go on video if you want. I'll put you on video next to me on the TV screen. And now we'll continue with the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, November 17th, 2022, this interview with Dr. Peter McCullough. So, Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip.
That's when they stopped. We don't know when it goes down, but it's circulatory for 2 weeks. Foreign messenger RNA in the body, presumably on lipid nanoparticles, are now in exosomes. Another piece of information.
That's problematic because we're told it's just located in the arm. It's short-lived, and it dissipates.
Right.
The body's kicking, this is over.
Right.
It's running all through your body.
It's running through your body at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They, Roentgen, Stanford, they're getting lymph node biopsies for other reasons, but they learn how to stain for the messenger RNA. It's in lymph nodes for 2 months. For 2 months. Now JAMA, Hannah and colleagues, breast milk. It's found messenger RNA in breast milk. And that broke, and someone pulled a Reuters press release a year earlier, says, oh, don't worry, it doesn't come out in breast milk. And there it is.
Wow.
In breast milk. So if it's circulatory in blood and it's in breast milk, and even in the Hannah paper, they simply say, listen, it's everywhere. It's in oral secretions. It's in urogenital secretions. It's in sweat.
Yeah.
It's in breast milk. We don't know when this clears out of the body. Remember, the genetics are the code to produce the spike protein. The person who knows the most about the spike protein and where it is in the body and how long it lasts is Bruce Patterson at Incell DX, former pathologist at Northwestern and Stanford. Bruce has reviewed the data, published the best he can. As far as he can tell, it doesn't get out of the body. The spike protein doesn't. We're still waiting for someone to take a vaccine and be shown to be clear of messenger RNA and clear of spike protein. So far, that has not been demonstrated in the scientific literature.
I think about, you know, I've had several interviews with Dr. Robert Malone, who's involved in inventing this technology for vaccines. One of the things, and it speaks to your point, one of the things he said to me is that when he first said, look, this is work, his work starts as trying to use mRNA technology to do a gene insertion, to fix issues like cancer in the future by sending an mRNA in that can insert itself and somehow like get in there and fix a DNA issue. He realizes through years of this that it's going nowhere because the immune system's attacking that mRNA before it can really find purchase. The seed finds purchase where it wants to. But he says, this is what he said to me, then it hit me. You know, it's not going to work for gene therapy, but it'd be great as a vaccine. The reason being that it will, you know, it'll get in there. It'll be there just long enough to stimulate the immune system to start making antibodies, but it won't stay in circulation, which could lead to autoimmune disease and all sorts of other issues, which is always the big concern with vaccines. Mm-hmm. He's like, this would be a perfect vaccine because it'll be there, very short-lived. You know, the immune system is really good at killing it. We know it is. And then, boom, you've got your antibodies. You're moving on. What he said to me was so shocking. shocking is that they took away the whole reason he thought it was a good idea, which was they inserted this uridine. They basically shifted the structure of the DNA of this spike protein, which is the bioweapon of the virus we're talking about. They make it so that it can persist. Well, so instead of being able to be killed by the immune system, it's putting the immune system asleep, it's able to hang out. And as you're saying now, this thing, we don't know if it ever dies. It's going all over the place. It's not going away.
Right. So messenger RNA has ribonucleic acids, and it has a 3' and 5' cap. The innovation was to develop these nucleoside analog caps, which are undigestible. Now, normally, your body is making messenger RNA all the time. You have RNAases that quickly break them down. There is a product, by the way, that I can use in cardiology. It's called inclisiran. Inclisiran is a small interfering RNA that interferes for the production of PCSK9, an important regulatory protein that we deal in lipid metabolism. Now, the pharmacokinetics of that has been studied by the company, which took years to develop it, and that rises in the bloodstream and it goes down in a day because it doesn't have those synthetic analog caps and the body clears it. With the vaccines, they have these synthetic analog caps. And this deep history of messenger RNA really goes back to the military. Our DARPA, which is the Military Research Division, has had a program. It's called the Protect Adept P3 program, the Pandemic Planning Prevention Program, since 2012. And they have said on their website that they plan to basically handle pandemics in 60 days using messenger RNA technology. That's the U.S. military in 2012. Working with vaccine consultants and others. So this wasn't Operation Warp Speed. This wasn't Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. They're kind of...
This is the end game for a military operation that's been going on since 2012?
It's military conceived. Okay. Now, others are involved for sure. Now, we know Moderna wrote the patent with the National Institutes of Health. And Stéphane Bancel, who was the CEO of bioMérieux, the French company, they built the biosecurity annex level 4 security in Wuhan. Now, Bancel does this in 2011. Then he changes companies and he joins Moderna. So a CEO of a huge company joins a very small company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's in our book, Courage to Face COVID-19. We capture all this history.
By the way, here we go. Just everyone, if you haven't read this book, you better, go out. Copies running off the shelves everywhere. It really is. What I love about this is you've got John Leake as your partner on this. We had both of you on to discuss this book. Crime writer, he really deals with this as though you're reading a crime novel, which is exactly what this is.
It's a page-turner. But the head-scratcher is, why would now billionaire Stéphane Bancel leave this wonderful French company where he's doing all this great stuff, and he joins a tiny company, Moderna, and they start working on the patent with the NIH for the Moderna patent. Note that Moderna is now suing Pfizer, and you're right, something is very unique about this messenger RNA. When you think about it, segments of it probably had to be humanized so the body would read it and wouldn't reject it. This is very important. Mm-hmm. And then a paper just came out from Nunez Castilla, very interesting paper, studying the spike protein, the product of the genetics. And what they showed is probably 36 areas of humanization, meaning the spike protein has homology to human proteins itself. And what Nunez Castilla is saying is that, listen, this is the setup for autoimmunity. Right. It was used to make the body accept it probably and read it and make the spike protein, the genetics at least manageable. But now this chronic exposure, the fact that human bodies are being exposed day by day to a foreign protein that looks like it doesn't even...
Let me try and simplify it and see if I got this close, which is what you're saying is there are elements of this now that genetically will look like your own body, could look like, the myelin sheath, for instance. And so if that's the case, if it ends up looking like a protein or body or something in the body, then your immune system in creating the ability to fight this spike protein will say, oh, there's spike protein there. No, that's my body. That's not the spike protein. That's the thing that looks like the spike protein, but it's actually a part of my body. It starts attacking, and now that immune system attack upon your own body is the definition of autoimmune.
Yeah, I think you have it, and I think specifically since the genetics install in somatic cells, meaning they're not just in immune cells, but they're in heart muscle cells, they're in the support cells in the brain, the cells themselves express spike protein on the surface, and then the body says, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there. I'm going to attack you. So I've interviewed Dr. Polycritis from Italy, who has the belief that every cell that expresses spike protein is under attack from another cell. It is just, it's a cellular war going on introduced by these vaccines.
This has always been to me, I'm a layperson, no medical background whatsoever. Let's be reasonable here. What this vaccine does is it basically, I say, is like a recipe or a code that is sent inside my own cells, and then it teaches my cell how to make the spike protein, the most dangerous part of the virus. And then it starts making the spike protein, putting it on the outside of the cell, and then all of a sudden my immune system is going, oh my God, I'm under attack. Not by something that I just breathed through my nose, not by something I just got in my lungs and, you know, is where I have an alarm system for this. Suddenly it's appearing and it's being created by my own cells. My own cells are now the enemy that my immune system is saying, oh my God, these cells are producing a viral, you know, bioweapon that could kill me. And so it literally sees your own cells producing it as the enemy. How does that not lead to autoimmune disease? I mean, to me, I'm glad there's scientists backing up, but as a layperson, it seemed like that would be the only route. I mean, just crazy.
You know, there are still announcements that we hear from biotech companies and the manufacturers that we know saying that this is just the beginning. There's going to be messenger RNA for influenza, for respiratory syncytial virus, that we're going to install the genetic code for many pathogens, that we're going to express many pathogens, and this is going to be the basis of our new immune program.
It's horrifying. Based on the great science that we already did that showed how safe this is. I mean, we jumped out of the science, got an EUA. We erased the placebo group as soon as we had an EUA because, God forbid, we have a placebo group that continues on and those that are being injured are not getting the time of day from Moderna or Pfizer. They're being ignored and lied about to the FDA. So all of it's a giant cover-up. And now based on this terrible science that is not being done, not testing troponin, not even doing a PCR test while you're in the trials while the rest of the world's having a PCR test to walk in a door, and then you come out of it saying, oh no, this it was a success. We're going to bring flu shots and chickenpox shots and all sorts of small and large issues using mRNA technology. We could go on and on about all that you've worked on the issues of the vaccine. I want to ask you this, because as a doctor and a scientist and someone who I'm sure spent most of your career looking up to those at the CDC and the FDA that have, you know, provided all the science and evidence that back up all the great work you have done. When you looked at this, and while you made this book, this is probably better to even say the courage to face COVID-19, you're looking at sort of this almost criminal enterprise that's taking place. How would you describe the regulatory agencies now? Are they protecting us? Are they infiltrated? Where are the red flags? Because I feel like this is our biggest issue. I never believe that industries are looking out for my best good. They're trying to make a dollar. I don't care. BP spills oil in the ocean. It's not lost on me. The first thing they're going to do is try and hide it. It wasn't me. I didn't take the cookie out of the cookie jar. Companies lie. Industries that make billions of dollars, I think they're liars. They tend to lie to cover their own butts. That's not who I have an issue with. They're acting normally. FDA, CDC, NIH, Health and Human Services, these agencies are there knowing this is a pack of liars that have lost billions and billions of dollars for death and injury from products they made before. They're supposed to be protecting us. Robert Kennedy Jr. often saying they've been subsumed, they're infiltrated. What is your take?
Well, you know, the people are calling this now the alphabet agencies, right? All these three-letter agencies, and they exist all over the world. We could extend it to the MHRA in England, the TGA in Australia, EMA in Europe. One of the first concerns, and I've already mentioned it, is the NIH can co-write patents with companies. The National Institutes of Health should never be able to co-write a patent with Moderna on a vaccine and then turn around and have an NIH division director promote vaccines.
Right,
right then and there. That should
Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci is promoting a product, saying it's safe, when people inside that regulatory agency are going to make money from the product.
Right. So whether it's him or the agency, it's just it's a gross conflict of interest.
Yes.
Let's take the FDA. Remember before COVID, emergency use authorization had been used for anthrax and a few other products. It's always military.
Okay.
It is a military-oriented regulation so the military can move quickly to protect our soldiers. Under emergency use authorization, it's not entirely clear if the FDA really has a regulatory role. Does the FDA really need to opine on something, or do they not? It's unclear. The FDA is showing no interest in even evaluating safety data on the EUA products to shut them down. When they were offered, they were offered by HHS, Alex Azar. So the HHS has to sign off on something that there is an emergency, and they're offered by the Department of Defense. The FDA's behavior almost seems like choreography to me, as opposed to tough regulatory behavior. And to make matters worse, though, the named sponsors of the U.S. vaccine program that are administering the program to America are the CDC and the FDA. The FDA should not be a named sponsor of the program. The FDA ought to be a separate watchdog advised by independent doctors. The FDA ought to be the first one to say there's a safety problem, we're going to shut it down. I think they're all now, there's an entanglement there where no one at the FDA either wants to shut this down or even wants to look at safety, or they feel as if they're part of the spirit of the program to get a needle in every arm.
You just presented a thought to me that I'm now putting it together. Let me pose a hypothesis that puts two thoughts together that you've just said. You just told me that the military, you know, was the one talking about mRNA technology as a pandemic response back in 2012. 2012, they're already looking at technology. I don't know. Obviously, they've done human trials we haven't heard about, I would guess, because I had thought, so far what we can see in our investigations is this technology really hasn't, as a vaccine, been tested in human beings. That was what Warp Speed was all about. But if this was an approach by our military, you know, to in a future pandemic. Now, put aside whether or not COVID was a test run or a real run, or they really thought it was a viral, that doesn't matter. The point being that up until now, you're saying EUAs have really only been used for the military.
Right.
That it isn't an FDA function necessarily. It's just the military. We are rushing our guys into battle. Anthrax is a problem. We don't have time to see if this vaccine is safe or not. We're going to go ahead and take the risk. We're going to move with it. And so now COVID vaccine needs to be used in a pandemic model, exactly as described back in 2012. And the FDA, and this would, you know, in this hypothesis, it would answer something that's never made any sense, seems to just be like, it's like somebody like, just tell me what boxes to check. I'm not reading it, and handing it over.
Right. And public statements really matter. Dr. Rubin, the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, said at the pediatric meetings in the fall of 2021, we will never know if this is safe in children unless we just go and do it. So the behavior was not the FDA worried about safety. The FDA is actually just waving this on. It appears to be choreography. You know, the current...
But I've been looking at the FDA as the head top of this thing, and you're saying, no, military and government's the head of this. There's a chance all they are is just signing off on a dictate coming from above them.
Right. HHS and the military, that's really the organizational setup, Health and Human Services and the military. So the FDA is, in a sense, in a choreographic position to kind of approve or do something. You know, the current head of the FDA, someone who I know, Robert Califf from Duke, he is a hardcore clinical trialist, a drug safety hawk. He's made his living looking at safety of cardiovascular drugs. You know, he's the most silent person in America right now. You don't hear from him. The other observation is the CDC. The CDC really doesn't have any role in administering a vaccine program. Remember, it's the CDC. And many of my fellow residents, I trained at University of Washington, you know, they were CDC officers. The CDC, for instance, came in Dallas in the Ebola outbreak, did a great job. Hantavirus did a great job. What do they do? What does the CDC do? They do outbreak investigation. They do in vitro diagnostics. They actually help get a head start on assays and data analytics.
And we'll pause it right there. We'll be right back with Dr. Peter McCullough on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, thehighwire.com. I'm Chris Steiner here on theliberationstation.com. We'll be right back. You know they never said a word, still they have to die. Well, I'm asking why.
It won't be long. No, no, no. What have we learned from the recent election? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. All of the polls before Tuesday's election predicted a huge red tidal wave, but what really happened was more like a red sun shower. What does this indicate?
It could mean that the polls just aren't relevant or reliable anymore. It could mean that Republican voters took massive wins for granted and just didn't turn out to vote. Some will say it's more proof of fraud or a selection rather than an election. I think the results show that far too many people put party politics above their own best interest. Polls showed that the economy and inflation were the number one priority of voters, and polls also showed that voters believe Republicans are better at handling those issues. But voters have been told for years that Republicans are racist Nazis. So maybe many people just won't vote Republican despite believing Republican candidates represent their own best interest. After all, who could vote for Hitler just because milk got too expensive? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
A certain measure of righteousness, a certain amount of force, certain degree of determination, daring on a different course.
The Liberation Station radio show. I'm Chris Steiner, and we have 24 minutes left of this clip. Dr. Peter McCullough interviewed on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. And again, if you'd like to follow along on the Facebook live stream where they show illustrations and graphs and studies, you can go over to the Republic Broadcasting page at facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting, or the source where I originate the show is facebook.com/We Are Change Tampa. So the moment the show starts, that's where it is, and then I post it as soon as I get the chance over at the Republic Broadcasting Network's Facebook page. Or if you just go to Republic Broadcasting's website, republicbroadcasting.org, right near the top there in the center, there's a link to the Facebook page. And also, please click on the Donate Now button so that we can keep this wonderful community of very educated, vocal folks with unique experiences, unique credentials calling in. They have their skepticism hats on, and they know the way things are normally done and the way that they should be done, which is what we talk about here, so we can pick apart the problems in the modus operandi of the establishment and things that folks would think are harmless do great harm when they've been so indoctrinated by the media. So that's why this is such a great potent source of information in education perspective here on Republic Broadcasting Network, and also strategies on how to converse with people we might consider our adversaries, but if you treat them like your friends, if they don't know the need to reform themselves, then try to start out with a conversation and asking them questions to probe where they are, what they believe, and ask how they, if they've changed their mind, and what made you change your mind. People like to talk about themselves, and that's a good way to build rapport, even if you don't agree with somebody. You don't think that you're talking to somebody so that don't expect them to become an instant ally. Do it because you know that they are going to mature at some point in time, whether it's now in this lifetime or at another point in their immortal future. And planting seeds in their mind so that they can maybe reflect on it later when they encounter the information again. You say your presence, you don't think you made the best impression? Well, at least you planted a seed. At least somebody can see that you were trying. And that's what I think is the spirit of Mother Nature, is that she knows all her children are going to grow up, but she doesn't take crap from them, and she knows how to cultivate our growth, our spiritual development, how to prevent, treat any illness, any disease. Warns us, if you meditate, warns us about what's coming down the road sometimes, has been in my situation, wondering when these COVID shots, when they came out, how they're going to affect us. So I try to take a more nurturing approach, but if somebody starts to become a little bit offensive, then let them know gently to start with, and then know the proper procedure for escalation, the proper time for escalation. Better too late than too soon. But if you're tuned in to what they're saying, tune into them. Focus on your third eye as you're speaking with them, third eye to third eye, or eye to eye, heart to heart. Visualize and energize that, and you may find that you pick up on what they are going to express, their feelings, their thoughts, the images that cross their mind sometimes before they say it, and just the right thing, just a bit of information or counsel to provide to them. And that goes a long way for everybody's well-being. So let's continue now here on that last 24 minutes of this interview with Dr. Peter McCullough, on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, November 17th, 2022. Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip. Sam, are you there in the control room? Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. He just told me. Yeah, but we have a break in 30 seconds. So I guess, after we finish this clip, I'm going to get into some basics, unless we take your calls, some basics of things, things to say to folks who have never been skeptical of vaccines, some very simple information that overcomes a lot of their objections that I've been formulating in retrospect the last couple of days. So when we get back, we'll continue with that interview with Dr. McCullough on The High Wire with Del Bigtree. And then we can take your calls, or I'll get into some of those talking points and hopefully some news after that. Stay tuned. Right.
Say that we have all the time we need to make it right. Don't hurry up on nobody. Ever in the thing you like. No, I've missed and bet your space. Young man, you will. I didn't have my soul express those rules when I was born.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone, yet everyone's on their own. You're everything that I am, I adore. It's the reason the life's for. It's my heart that I need to be sure. Keep it pure.
Steiner here with you, Liberation Station Radio Show, last half hour of this November 20th, 2022 edition. And we'll pick up that interview in just a few seconds. I just thought I should clarify when I mentioned Mother Nature. Mother Nature, like all of those who are devoted to God, always refer me to God anyway. I hope you have the same experience. When I empathize with someone, empathize with a planet, by merging with a planet, or merging with Mother Nature, and there's always room for improvement in that regard. If there wasn't room for improvement, life would cease to be exciting. And that should be a statement of encouragement, not to discourage you that there's always room for improvement. There's always more greater dimensions of emotion to reach, to understand what your intuition is telling you. And that is what our adversaries seek to squelch, is our emotions. God's knowing that God's plan is loving and seeing God everywhere. So as I say to yourself, to everyone, to everything, everywhere, say to God, you, there you are. You can play hide and seek with me, but your cleverness is in me to reveal you more and more. So concentrate and contemplate on besting your own last personal best. That seems to be the best way to infuse others too. Be still and know God. It's when a bowl of water that has objects in it is stirred in a circle like a storm. All the debris, all the objects quickly goes to the center. That's the area of least eccentricity, least turbulence. So seek stillness, be still and know God as in the eye of a storm, sanctuary to where all naturally gravitates and from where all thoughts and then energy can be manifest or even unmanifest, sent back to stillness. If you have God's permission to do so, and let's continue with this. Now let's continue, and then I think we have just enough time to finish this last segment of the interview, hopefully, with Dr. McCullough. So, Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip.
But the CDC has never come out and run a public program. And here we have the FDA and CDC never having done that. If we ever were going to have a mass vaccination program that's so important to America, yeah, we should have had a vaccine administration set up. And we should have had independent oversight, data safety monitoring board, monthly safety reviews, human ethics committees. We should have had the Cadillac program, because there could have been risk mitigation. There could have been an opportunity to figure out who is getting myocarditis, who is dying with the vaccines. How can we change it? Maybe the doses are too strong. Maybe there are certain risk groups. You know, there's a late-breaking paper by Itawit and colleagues from Thailand showing that a certain mutation called the SCN5A mutation in the heart, like a sodium channel, that's the risk predictor for the sudden death in a small study, the vaccine-induced myocarditis. So there's the innovation, right? So the idea is we could have actually managed this, but instead to put the CDC and FDA as the sponsors of the program, the FDA kind of hand-waving this along, yeah, having the roots of messenger RNA be DARPA. This is all starting to come out now.
Right. So DARPA, here we are then back to military and government, you know, is all entangled in this, which would explain why none of this is sort of making sense from a lay perspective. Not seeing the puzzle pieces coming together the way I've ever seen them before. There are other interests involved here. And then there's the, what I would say, not only are these regulatory agencies invested in these products, which is really scary. By the way, we just sent Peter Marks basically saying you need to take down your promotional videos of the COVID vaccine because your own EUA says you're not allowed to make these statements without saying this product hasn't been properly safety tested. Mm-hmm. It's under, you know, so they're breaking their own rules and they're becoming propaganda machines.
But you can break your own rules if it's a military operation.
Interesting.
You know, the state of Kansas just prohibited all COVID-19 vaccine commercials, because they're not safe and effective.
Right.
It violates the Truth in Advertising Act, the Lanman Act, the U.S. Drug and Cosmetic Act. You know, pharmaceutical companies can't go on TV and just say, our product is safe and effective, use it. They have to give disclosures about what could happen.
Right.
So you see things off the rails. I mentioned the consent form not being updated. What consent form would not be updated with a new medical problem? The package inserts are always updated.
Yeah.
So this has all the look and feel of a military operation where they say, listen, we don't have to follow these rules. The military doesn't follow typical rules because it's an emergency. Now, you know, in the last few days, the first thing the Republicans do is they put forward a bill to end the COVID-19 emergency. And what's President Biden's response? Veto. Want the emergency to go.
Yeah.
This is a red flag. When our leaders push to extend emergencies that don't exist, and I tell you, doctors are the ones who will make the call on whether or not there's a COVID emergency. When they do that, That's telling you they're drunk on power.
Yes.
They're drunk on power. Yes. We're under a national COVID emergency that's been extended, and we're under a national monkeypox emergency. I don't see anybody worried about monkeypox, let alone perceive an emergency.
It's really incredible. I mean, there's so many things we could get into, but let's get into the personal effect this has had on you now, because you, as you are right here, and you've said before, I make sure I list every author that's put out the studies. You are, I don't know how you're able to hold all this information in your brain. There's a reason why you've been more published than any heart doctor in the world. There's a reason, you know, why you've risen to the fame. You've made every hospital you've been at prior to COVID. You're the star of that establishment. And yet you, of all people, speaking the truth, not from the top of your head or making things up, citing the science as a heart specialist, pointing out the myocarditis, pointing out the troponin issues, how you should be testing for it. You are now, I would say, of everybody, you're in real jeopardy of having your certifications removed. In fact, let me just go ahead and read the letter that you received just recently. This is sent to Dr. Peter McCullough. Dear Dr. McCullough, the American Board of Internal Medicine, ABIM, provided you notice by letter dated May 26, 2022, the notice that ABIM's Credentials and Certification Committee, CCC, would consider whether to recommend a disciplinary sanction against you in light of public statements you made about the purported dangers of or lack of justification for COVID-19 vaccines. In light of all the evidence and circumstances, the CCC determined to recommend that your board certifications be revoked. And then I think it lists a whole bunch of specific statements and things that you have made throughout COVID, and you're having to address those specific statements. This is serious, and it's troubling that, as we've said opening this up, it's not like there's one group that has the science and then someone's just making something up. There is, at the very least, conflicting science. I would say the body of science is defending your perspective. I think what they're calling science is wishful thinking. It's a lot of red stamping, you know, or just pushing things through. We can't quite figure out. Maybe it's military. But the science being done by worldwide, universities, nations, is all really showing what you've been saying. Yet you're at risk of not being a heart doctor in the future.
This is deeply troubling. I think anybody looking at this should view me as an example for them. We have 1 million doctors in the United States, 500,000 nurse practitioners and physician assistants. I have consistently been, you know, as you know, I've testified twice in the U.S. Senate, multiple state senates. I am asked by request to answer questions under oath, to do the best I can as a citizen. I've shown up and I've done my job. You know, interesting talking point, Steve Bannon, former White House advisor, he's close to going to prison because he didn't show up in Congress and testify. I've showed up upon request and testified. I've done my job as a citizen. I've provided commentary on major news stations, ABC, Fox, Real America, you name it. And I have 60 peer-reviewed publications on the topic. When Peter Navarro reached out to me from the White House and needed help, I answered the call. When Senator Johnson called me, I answered the call. It's all in the book, Courage to Face COVID-19. And now the American Board, which is only concerned with, did I complete my residency and did I pass my board exams and do I have a clinical competence? It's called medical.
So that's what they usually focus
that's
on.
What they're going to focus. They don't go out and police what doctors say about heart disease, diabetes, or kidney disease. In fact, the Supreme Court says, as a doctor, I have free speech. It's been asserted that a doctor, in his or her public statements and talking with patients, has free speech. What the ABIM does is, in September of 2021, they announced that they're going to have a COVID misinformation campaign. And they put that out there. And what they did in my case is they went back in time to March of 2021, and they said, aha, you made statements when you answered questions in the Texas Senate that we disagree with. And you are now hereby accused of misinformation. And they pulled in other statements. And then they said, well, you we're going to have a committee meeting on you. So I said, can I attend the meeting? No, you can't. Well, I submitted a response document supporting everything I said, more citations, yep, about 20 pages. they have a meeting. We don't know what the methods of the meeting were, what types of criteria did they use. I did analyze who attended that meeting. Nobody at that meeting has any research competency in COVID. None of them have any original publications on COVID. None of them have given any testimony or public statements on COVID. The American Board of Internal Medicine hasn't issued any learning modules. They haven't issued any media guidance for doctors, nothing. And they come to this conclusion, and when they come to the conclusion, then they say, and we've come to this conclusion, and here's our evidence of what we think the science is. So then they present their evidence after the conviction has already happened. This violates every aspect of due process. There was no equal protection. How did they review all the doctors? They didn't tell me. They went ex post facto. They went back in time. Then they produce evidence after they've made their decision. And the evidence that they produce is actually, in my view, incorrect. They've looked at proportions of deaths in age group and try to intimate that as risk. In my next response to them, I go to the CDC and I said the CDC indicates risk by case fatality ratio, and I give the case fatality ratios.
Yeah.
So even the evidence that they've quote,
so they usually try to use a population-based model?
No, they actually use proportions of deaths in age group and said, well, you said below a certain age, the risk is negligible. Well, it is, according to the case fatality rate. So this is precisely the type of disagreement in interpretation of data that deserves discussion. And Senator Ron Johnson, when this all happened, called Richard Barron, American Board of Internal Medicine, wrote a letter, called him out and said, let's discuss it. Let's discuss it, what the issues are. Barron refuses to do so. He tweets a few days later that he's joining forces with the American Medical Association, so there's no discussion. So Johnson writes the board and says, listen, I asked McCullough to come and testify. He did the best he could twice. Senator Bob Hall from Texas writes and says, listen, I called McCullough. He testified for Health and Human Services. Yeah. He helped us. And then
with the
best I could.
The best you could with what evidence in this brand new virus, this brand new issue.
It's an evolving virus. Yeah. Right. So that's all very fair statements. And then innumerable doctors write the board. Now the board says that I have a right to appeal, that in a sense the conviction has occurred. I have the right to appeal. I have to name witnesses, name attorneys, ask for an in-person or a virtual meeting, and this all has to be in a few days.
You have PR firms directly infiltrating medical boards, conflicts of interest like crazy. I was going to say, I found the timing suspicious, too, in that you had Ron Johnson running for office saying, I am going to bring investigations on the injuries from vaccines. I'm going to call, you know, Fauci and others. You had Rand Paul saying, I'm all over this. I'm going after gain of function. And I just thought, in the climate, the Democratic Party, which seems to have taken a side on this, I'm not political about it, but there's a politics around it, and there was a concern that should there be this red wave, the power of investigation that would be there, and I have to assume they all know one of the primary voices and specialists that's going to appear is you. You have before. You've been at the hearings for Ron Johnson. You've been here in Texas. Boy, it is sure a lot better if the number one witness they're going to bring and the most educated and highest credentialed person, they can say, yeah, but that guy lost his license. He's uncertified. Uncertified, not licensed. Uncertified doctor. They want to demote it to discredit what I think they're concerned you're about to say in what may be some of the most important investigations and hearings in this country.
Well, there may be help on the way from Senator Rand Paul. The bombshell news breaks that we learn that the ABIM is now, it appears to be working with the PR firm that is representing Pfizer and Moderna, and it gets deeper than that.
Wow.
Weber Shandwick is a longstanding, the world's largest PR firm, public relations firm. They have a longstanding business relationship with Pfizer. In 2020, they pick up the marketing contract for Moderna. So Pfizer and Moderna have Weber Shandwick. Weber Shandwick then engages in a relationship with Rochelle Lewinsky and the CDC. They get a $53 million contract from the CDC, and then Weber Shandwick embeds their marketing team for Pfizer and Moderna within the CDC in Atlanta. They are in an embedded unit, And these young individuals who work for the marketing term, they're posting their posts on LinkedIn and others saying, hey, I'm embedded in the CDC now promoting COVID-19 vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, because Weber Shandwick now has their contracts, they have the CDC and they have Pfizer, Moderna. Senator Rand Paul writes a letter October 24th, 2022, and he writes to Rochelle Lewinsky. He says, what is this? There it is.
Okay.
What is this, Del? That you have an embedded marketing unit for the vaccine companies within the CDC. The CDC should have nothing to do with pharma. They should
certainly nothing to do with the marketing arm of pharma, like the advertiser.
Right.
No, come on in. Not only are we going to refute, like we're going to bring you in to help us.
How can they be a fair broker of children who need to receive vaccines when they have embedded marketing units? And now how this ties to the American Board of Internal Medicine, this is a stunning. South by Southwest, which is a very notable festival and IT meeting here in Austin, puts up on its schedule for next year a session called When Doctors Prescribe Misinformation. Who are the panelists for this? One is Aliyah Mohsen from Weber Shandwick, Wasim Khalid from Blackbird AI, which is an AI company, and Richard Barron, the CEO of American Board of Internal Medicine.
Oh, my God.
So there they are in public. So now
as a three separate specialists, but really it's the same.
Bring them together. There's the connection. So now we can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Anybody who stands in the way of these vaccines and the power of Pfizer and Moderna is going to be steamrolled. And Americans don't have a chance unless it's people like me and Rand Paul and Ron Johnson and you and others who stand up.
Where's your career at now? I know that when this all started, you were at Baylor. They ended up saying, under the circumstances, you had another job. Is this affecting your career?
Yeah, so what happened was I had an administrative and clinical role at a major medical center in Dallas, and that job terminated really before the vaccines in January of 2021, after I had published greatly on COVID, investigational drug applications, testified in the U.S. Senate, did everything I could, I basically was shown the door. About 6 months later, I was then sued by that health system for media and their interpretation that I was dragging them into the media. Well, I still had hospital privileges there. I still saw and examined patients. I transferred my practice to a private practice, which thrived. Thousands of calls for new patient appointments, brought in lots more patients to the medical center, stayed the same medical center, but different employer. Now, on the heels of this announcement, I've just been let go from that job with no substantive reason. And the only thing I can conclude is that with a perfect clinical track record, perfect set of board scores, I've taken the American Board of Internal Medicine 4 times, done great, cardiology 3 times. They rely on my research and the board questions. I've done the best I can. What I'm concluding is I'm on the brink of being probably the first doctor in modern American history to be stripped of my residency and my fellowship and my credentials, 6 years of my life and all of this effort for political reasons around COVID-19, and largely for doing my service as a citizen testifying under oath.
Is there anything, we have an audience of millions watching this, that you have been keeping us updated? Many people out there, I think, are saying to themselves, my life was saved because I listened to Dr. Peter McCullough, and I avoided that vaccine, went with different approaches that have also been presented here. Now we want to help you. Obviously, you're going to have legal costs, things like that. Is there a way that we can get involved? We have a very active community out there. How can we help? Because if you go down, it's the dominoes for everyone else out there. That's what they want, right? They want to scare every other doctor. I don't want to scare every other doctor. I want them to say, I'm following Peter McCullough because Peter McCullough won and survived that. So what can we do to help?
Well, I tell you, I will win and survive, and there's always a silver lining. I have a website, petermcculloughmd.com. Okay. You can go there. There is a support button. It goes to a funding mechanism, which is always appreciated. But I want people to know there are good organizations out there. Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPSonline.org. They are suing the ABIM in general for a violation of my civil rights and every other person's civil rights who have been hit with these decertifications. So AAPSonline.org, they take no pharma money. They clearly could benefit from good public support. And then the new venture. And the new venture, I think, is very exciting. I've taken a board position. I'm the chief scientific officer now for the Wellness Company.
Okay.
And the Wellness Company is a national alternative healthcare system. It's virtual. It's through a cell phone app or a computer. It will have some physical presence, but it involves verticals of doctors and patient care, community pharmacies that will always reliably dispense the drugs, in vitro diagnostics, imaging, counseling, nutraceuticals, and supplements. It's about a $5 app on the cell phone. It's affordable. The physician visits are very affordable. It's a cash-based system where the more expensive things can go, like labs and in vitro diagnostics, can go on insurance. But the Wellness Company will provide care where patients now have been denied. You know, there's people who have taken a vaccine and they can't even see their doctor. There still are acute COVID patients that are desperate to get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or prednisone. So the Wellness Company, I think, is going to be a great opportunity. Everybody could sign up for that and just have it as a backup. By the way, company after company is signing up, having the Wellness Company be its supplemental benefit. So that way the company...
And you'll have your own pharmacy, I take it, or a connection to a pharmacy to make sure?
Yeah, they're going to be a whole listing and grouping of community pharmacies, which have really been the heroes in this.
All right, we're going to have to cut that off here just a few minutes early, but you got all the all the important information. I'm so glad to see Dr. McCullough is, he's in such demand. It's so easy to find a new gig, start your own gig, and... talk about parallel systems, and never going to be able to suppress this information as much as they try. The more they try, the more the information gets out there, the more powerful we become. I guess the only way they can stop us from talking is by persuading us or killing us. I guess that if they want to try persuading us, that that's fine. But if they try heavy-handed approaches, it just wins more folks over to our camp. And I also needed to correct myself. Speaking of Rand Paul during that interview, correct myself from a previous show where I said I couldn't find where Rand Paul had sent a criminal referral to the Department of Justice saying that Fauci lied about gain-of-function research funding. So I'm showing up on the screen here that he has, July 24th, 2021, this article from Washington Examiner by Jerry Dunleavy, Justice Department reporter. Rand Paul sends criminal referral to DOJ saying Fauci lied about gain-of-function research. So I'm a self-correcting talk show host here, and let me just see what we have time here to get into. Some of the arguments that folks will bring up, I'll have to get into that next show. Some of the starting out the next show, I promise, some of these very basic fallacies that we can become fallacy assassins of with persuading others to the problems with vaccines. We're not anti-vaxxers. We're pro-immunity. That's what we are. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for expressing yourself, even if it's just sitting in silence, basking in the radiance of your soul's own natural radiance and radiating that out to your environment and to all of creation. Until next time here on Liberation Station Radio Show every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. to noon Central. I'm Chris Steiner. All take great care.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.